What's up, Kairos? Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Are you wondering what's going on the video? Yo, that was risky, right? They risked it for that biscuit. I don't know what biscuit they were trying to get, but they risked it, and it was pretty crazy. Hey, we are kicking off our new series today called Risk It for the Biscuit. I'm glad that you're here with us in person. For those of you joining us online, welcome as well. We're so glad that you're here. So hey, I wanted to kind of open and kind of talk about something that we can all relate to. Do you remember the first time that you wanted to ask somebody out or ask them to the dance or like ask them if they would be your boyfriend or girlfriend? Anyone remember that time, right? And you like this person and you're really excited, but at the same time, you're anxious, and you're nervous, and you're sweaty, and you're ready to just bail on the whole thing and go hide in a hole, right? Because you know, like I mean, there's some things happening, and you're getting some signals, and you're like, okay, I think this is going to be good. Let's go to the dance, and we'll go from there. But as you begin to think about asking or taking that step or taking that risk, you begin to process the what ifs, right? Well, what if she says no? What if I'm reading those signals all wrong? What if I get rejected and my boys make fun of me, right? We begin to process all these risks. And then I think there's the other side of it. And we go, well, what if she says yes? And you're like, there's more that comes. There's more risks involved. And I think that's something we can all relate to. And so as you begin to, man, desire to do something, to take that risk, you're presented with something that, man, just begins the question, like, what if this takes place? I wonder if this could happen. You begin to, you know, calculate all the things that could go wrong, and at the same time, you calculate all the things that could go right. And so we risk for the reward. In this instance, the reward is, man, getting to take her out or him out on a date, right? It's getting to say, yes, this is my boyfriend or girlfriend, or yes, this is the person I'm going to marry. Well, you know, you think about that as well. And this is going to be someone I'm going to spend my life with, and you get the reward of that. And so there's risk, but there's also reward. And we're going to be talking about that a lot during this series, how there are risks that we have to take, and there's reward that comes with it. But before I jump into all of that, I guess I should probably help you understand why we chose to call our series Risk It for the Biscuit. And it was a pretty in-depth conversation. I know for a while, for the last probably 3 or 4 months, I've been wanting to do this series. And I just kept saying, hey, I want to do this risk series. Risk, we're going to take risk, risk, risk. And I just kept saying that. We didn't really have a name. We weren't going to call it Risk because everyone would think we'd come in here and play that board game Risk, which I hate, by the way. Anyway, sorry. And so we had this conversation. And this Risk It for the Biscuit, it's something that is so profound and so amazing. Actually, I'm just kidding, man. We came up with this name because it's funny. Like, that's it. And I don't know, Robbie and Varney are kind of having this match between who said it first. It was one of them. And at first, I was like, ha, 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 no, we're not doing that. That's silly. Why would we do that? And then I thought about it some more. I'm like, that's pretty funny. And I haven't forgot about that. And so, if you were wondering why we chose to call our series Risk It for the Biscuit, that is it. It's funny, okay? I tell you what, though, you will always remember the series Risk It for the Biscuit at Kairos Church, you know what I'm saying? And so that's that. Something else, just as a quick side note. So, we got the name, and then I began to kind of plan out the series, and I'm like, well, you know, we're risking it for a biscuit. What biscuit? What does this even mean? You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to, like, make some kind of, I don't know, I'm trying to figure this thing out. Like, how do I twist this and make this about God and Jesus, right? We're risking it for the biscuit. We literally have biscuits on the screen. Are they on the screen right now? Yeah, those are biscuits. And so what I came to this phrase, instead of just risking it for the biscuit, let's risk it for the Jesus biscuit, okay? So listen. Here's I need your help. I need you to help me get hashtag Jesus biscuit trending on social media. Because here's the reality. You hashtag Jesus biscuit, people are going to be like, what's that even mean, right? They're going to be like, the wheels start spinning. I've got to know more about the Jesus biscuit. Is it some biscuit that died and came back to life? Like, what kind of biscuit is this biscuit? And I need that biscuit, and it's the Jesus biscuit. So here's what we need to do. Anytime you invite someone to church, you let people know. I say, you know what, I just risked it for that hashtag Jesus biscuit. Anytime you share or you start a watch party online, Hashtag Jesus biscuit. Anytime you go to pray for someone that's you know or don't know, hashtag Jesus biscuit. Anytime you help someone in need, Jesus biscuit. Anytime you come out on Friday nights to do the work day with us, hashtag Jesus biscuit. If you are worshiping in your car and you don't care who sees, you take a selfie and you say hashtag Jesus biscuit, okay? Let's let people know that we are risking it for the Jesus biscuit. Turn to someone and ask them right now, are you going to risk it for the Jesus biscuit? Do it. I want you to say Jesus biscuit. Yep. Now you got to have some passion about that Jesus biscuit, okay? This ain't just any old-fashioned biscuit. This a Jesus biscuit. Okay. So there's that. Now, that's a little bit of fun. Now I want to make it clear. I wanted to come out the gate with this series and make it clear what we're doing. The series that we're entering into is a series to help us, what I'm calling the Move Into the Building campaign. Move Into the Building campaign. That's what we're talking about throughout this series. And so our biscuit, you ready, is the building so that we can bring more people in here and tell them about that Jesus biscuit that we all got. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what we're going to talk about. And so I'm going to share over the next few weeks kind of the why, the how, the what, as it pertains to moving into this space permanently and how it's going to require something from each and every one of us. Now, on the flippity-flop, that's right, flippity-flop. I'm also every week going to be challenging you in your own personal walk with Jesus, right? Because there are risks that come along with being a Christ follower. There's a cost to being a disciple of Jesus. So I'm going to talk today about the cost that's going to come along with the risk of this and also the cost of the risk of following Jesus. The title of my message today is The Cost of the Risk. I want to pray, and then we'll dive into it. So pray with me. God, we are here. We are in this place that you have so graciously provided for us. In a time where we weren't sure where we were going to be, but we're here. We are healthy, and we are worshiping you. Those that could be here with us, those who are online, God, we are coming together in unity. We are worshiping in your Spirit's presence. And God, today I pray that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us, that you would allow your word, man, to move, to speak, and cause us to act. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. You know, I was working on my message earlier in the week, just figuring this whole thing out, and I was kind of sitting in a back corner, and I just needed to change an environment. So I walked out here onto this stage, and you know, the lights were on, and it didn't look as cool as it looks right now. It was just an empty room with dirty green carpets. And who loves these carpets? Anyone want to rip some carpets up with me? No, you should ask the boys on Friday night. They were ripping up carpets. Anyway, sorry, I got side squirrel. And so I walked out here, and I was just pondering some things and what I want to talk about, and I just got to looking. Man, it just I got to this place where I was just completely, I don't know, just overwhelmed by how good God is, right? And how he's such a great provider. Like, I am standing here in this space, and I don't even know how it happened, y'all, because it's a God thing. And just thinking about how every week we have worked hard to make this our church, to make this Kairos Church. And we're planning, man, as we continue to do things. And I just got to thinking about what this is going to mean for our kids' ministry, what this is going to mean for movement, what this is going to mean for, man, the future of not only Kairos Church, but the impact that it's going to have on our community. And I was just so completely overwhelmed by God's goodness in that moment. And then I just got to thinking, I'm like, how did we get here? How do we get to this place? Right? We were meeting in the cafeteria at a school. We're a young church. Maybe if you're new to it, we're not even a three-year-old church yet. We've only been around for 2 years. We're still considered a church plant. You know what I'm saying? Like, at any given time, the whole thing could just fall out from underneath us. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kidding. It's not long. But, you know, there were risks that we had to take in order to even get to this point. You know, we had to, for me and my family and some others that came out with us, we kind of left everything we knew. There were financial risks. There were, you know, leaving our support system, leaving our friends, leaving all that we knew to come here. Risk and stepping into different places and going out into the community and telling them about what we need and risking, you know, to give of our time and our talents and our treasures to see this church that God laid on my heart to see it become a reality. We've risked every step of the way. And God has been, man, so good every step of the way. And so we've risked a lot to get here. But now we're in this place, and I'm thinking about, you know, what do we have to risk to get to where God has for us next? And that's the thing. There will always be risk associated with what we're doing. You know, Henry Lee Allen, he's the author of the book Men to Men. Here's what he says. It'll be on the screen. He says he defines risk as having the faith to attempt something new or different, even though it might be hard or lead to failure. He maintains that risk is not recklessness. Recklessness involves little or no forethought. In contrast, those who take risk are aware that they face enormous obstacles to achievement, yet the rewards seem well worth the effort. And I love what he talks about there. Risk aren't recklessness. You know, there is always be a cost associated with the risk that we are taking. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a risk. And what we know, the bigger the risk, the bigger the cost, but that also equates to a bigger reward. The more you're willing to risk, the more you're willing to go after it, the greater the reward will be. And here's what I believe. Without our willingness to take risk, we will never reach our God potential. Individually, and also at a church. We'll never reach or get to that place where God wants us. And I think, you know, the enemy and other people around us will say, well, just get to a place where you're comfortable and just coast there. But that is not what you see in the Bible. God isn't saying, hey, follow me, and then you can just coast along through life. No. He challenged us. He wants us to grow and become more and more like him, and we will never reach that perfection, so we got to keep striving for it every single day. And so there's these risks that we have to be willing to take. So we want to reach our God potential. You know, thinking about the risk of what we're doing, I mean, just in the current state of the world right now, what we're doing is risky. With only 30% of Kairos Church showing up on a Sunday morning, what we're doing is risky. With people getting laid off and getting pay cuts and furloughed, what we're doing is risky. With the uncertainty of COVID and what it's going to do next and how we're going to respond to it next and the impact that it's having on our livelihood, this is risky. But here's what I know. With calamity and hardship and trials and setbacks and failure, all those things do not stop God from working and moving in us and through us. And we've seen it, and we know it's going to keep taking place. And so it's worth the risk because God is behind us. He has got our back. And, you know, we've been talking a lot through, you know, Exodus and Moses and, you know, getting the Israelites out of Egypt and getting them to the promised land. And so here's what I'll say. We are not going to stay wandering in the wilderness just because there's a few giants that are trying to keep us from the promised land. We're going to go after it. We're going to take the risk, and with God's help, we're going to get into what's next, right? We're going to go to where God is leading us, this promised land that he has for us. We're going to go after it. With God's help, we're going to enter into what's next. We're going to risk it for the biscuit. You know what I'm saying? Now, let me share with you Luke 14. We're just going to look at verse 28 right now. It'll be on the screen. It says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. So we gotta count the cost, right? We gotta estimate what it's going to take to begin to start this thing, because there are risks involved. And what I want you to know is that we have estimated the cost. We've looked at what this is going to mean for us, and we're not entering into this recklessly. But we do know that there's a cost that comes with it. And so I wanted to share with you the cost of the risk. Kind of just outline what it's going to cost us. And so this campaign that I'm talking about, this Move Into the New Building campaign, as we begin to talk about this commitment, this campaign that we're entering into is a $50,000 campaign. $50,000. That I am going to challenge all of us to get on board so that we can step into what God is calling us to. Now, here's what I want you to know. Right today, in the next 4 weeks, I'm not going to ask you to do anything except for just pray about what God is calling you to do. Because on August 16th, the last day of this series, we're going to call it Commitment Sunday. I've actually been calling it today Biscuit Sunday. That's what we're going to call that, okay? On Biscuit Sunday, that's weird, y'all. On Biscuit Sunday, first, there will be biscuits, know that. But on Biscuit Sunday, what I'm going to do is I'm going to challenge you, and over the next 5 weeks, I'm going to cast vision. I'm going to tell you about the what, the why, the who, what this is going to mean for us, what this is going to cost for each of us, and then I'm going to challenge you to pray about what you can do, what you can risk for what we are trying to do here at Kairos. And so I wanted you to understand as we enter into this, our goal is $50,000. And it's a big goal for us as a small church. But I know together we can reach this goal. And maybe you'll say, well, why $50,000? How did you come up with that number? I just picked a number, to be real honest. It's kind of like the series. I'm just kidding. I didn't. When we actually enter into a full-term lease in this space, our monthly rent is going to triple. It's going to triple. So there's one expense. We also, now, because we're in our own building, where we were at the school, we didn't have to worry about utilities and electric and water and all that. We have to worry about that now. There's also cleaning that we have to do, and there's upkeep that we have to do. And if you've been here the last few Fridays, there's a lot of renovation and repairs that are going on. So let me give you some numbers. At the school, we spent $24,000 a year to meet there. And that was just for a combined time of 24 hours a week, okay? $24,000. Now, when we move into this place, we have estimated that our cost to meeting in this place will be $75,000. So there's a $51,000 difference. So I wanted you to understand, that's why that number, 50,000, came up, because we know we're moving towards that. We're trying to get to that. We're not there yet, but we have to get to that. And in the middle of it, we're in a pandemic. Woohoo! You know what I'm saying? But we know that God is good, and we're going to go after it. And here's the thing, in our estimation, we know we can, but we're also considering who we're doing it for and the purpose that we're doing it for. The cost, that cost for any one of us, it's way too much, but not for all of us. And here's what I believe. It's not a risk if you know you can, but it is a risk if you know only God can. And this is one of those only God moments where we come along and we say, you know what? We can't by ourselves, but we can collectively, and God can do it through us. You know, when Jesus talks about the cost of being a disciple, in Luke 14, that's kind of the whole theme of Luke 14, is this cost of being a disciple. And when he talks about the cost of being the disciple and the risks that are coming along with it, he's talking about life and death situations. Because you know that every single one of the disciples but one were martyred for their faith. Man, they went out, they set out, they took risk. They started the movement we now know as church, but they all died for their faith, except for one who died of natural causes. So there's this risk of following Jesus, of being persecuted for following Jesus. But there's also this communal cost that comes along with it. It's a shared cost. And for one person, you know, I say $50,000, and it's maybe just insignificant to them, but for others, it's a completely overwhelming number. But when we come together and we pool our resources, we are able to, number one, help one another, and then in the abundance, what we're able to do, because I believe it's a God of abundance, right? He's not just going to give for us, he's going to give so we can help minister to others. So as we come together and we share and we bring together what we all have, we will have enough for what we need to do to help one another, but we will also be able to witness and welcome others in so that we can share Jesus with them. There's this abundance when we come together. If you go and look at Acts chapter 2, chapter 3, right after Pentecost took place, you know, the early church blew up. And at the very end, I believe it's Acts chapter 2, around on the bottom, verses 30 through like 40, it talks about the church coming together. And no one was in need. They met every need. As a church, they came together. They gave of their time, their talent, their treasure. They came together to meet the needs of, you know, thousands of people that were coming to know Jesus in that time. So there's this cost that comes with following Jesus. There's a cost to what we're doing. And if we do it together, we can share that cost. And, you know, we've examined and we know in order to get from where we were to where God's calling us, we got to risk. We got to take risk. We got to take the risk. And there is always going to be a cost to our risk, just like there's a cost to following Jesus. Now, let me read to you the rest of Luke 14 as it pertains to the cost of being a disciple. Verse 25, it says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Turning to him, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Verse 28, I shared with you, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't you first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for the terms of peace. Verse 33 says, in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have, you cannot be my disciple. Woo! It's a high cost, right? A high cost of following Jesus. These are Jesus' words. What does he say? He tells us, hate everyone you love and give up everything that you have. And in the same sense, he says, you need to count this cost. You need to know what the cost is. You need to know that you're going to have to go all in and forsake everything else for me. You're going to go all in no matter the cost. You're going to go all in for Jesus. I was listening to a John Piper. He does these things where he answers questions. And someone asked this question. They say, in Luke 14, you know, Jesus says count the cost. Well, how do we count the cost of following Jesus when we don't actually know the cost? I love John Piper's answer. Here's what he says. He says, you just commit to the highest possible cost you can. Just know that following Jesus, if you read these words, it's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you everything. It should cost you everything. And so when Jesus says count the cost, he's not talking about minimal cost. He's not talking about a little discomfort. He's talking about risking it all for the sake of the cross. You know, Paul alludes to this in Philippians 3:8, and here's what he says. He says, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus. Everything else is a loss in just knowing Jesus. And Jesus, you know, it's kind of crazy, this portion right here. It says, hate everyone you love and lose everything that you have. And you think about that, and you're like, hold on, Jesus, didn't you also say that the two greatest commandments were to love God and love others? And you're like, is Jesus contradicting himself? Absolutely not. In this moment, he's just trying to make sure his followers understand the high cost that comes with following him and living for him and going after the things that he calls us to. And I think he's using that which we prize most, right? Our relationships and our possessions. Our relationships and our possessions to help us all understand the severity of the cost of following him. So we got to understand fully the cost, the risk associated with following the cross. We want to know the cost, but let's not also forget about the reward. And I think that's so important because I think it's easy to get caught up in the risk, get caught up in the cost and say, you know what? I don't think I can. But when we know the reward, oh, it's worth it. It's worth it. So, you know, Paul says knowing Jesus is the reward. But in John 14, a little bit earlier, before the passage I just shared, Jesus says this, and he alludes to the reward. He says, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And what that means is heaven awaits us, right? The greatest reward we could ever possess is that one day we get to spend eternity in heaven with our heavenly Father. That's the reward we go after. And when you take that reward against the risk and the cost, y'all, it's more than worth it. It's worth it because Jesus is worth it. You know, in Matthew 13, 44, Jesus, he shares a parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that was buried in the field. And a man, he found that and he reburied it. And then in his joy, what did he do? He went and he sold everything he had and he bought that field. He gave up everything, everything for God, everything for Jesus, everything for the kingdom of heaven. Yes, risk will bring cost, but risking it for Jesus brings a greater reward. And I think that's something we must always hold on to as we take risk, as we challenge, as we're changing, as we're moving, as we're growing, as we're trying to reach more people for the gospel. We count the cost and we remember the reward. So during this series, I'll be challenging all of us to take risk. Take risks that will help others embrace Jesus in their life. But I think it's really important that we're not just taking risk for the church, but that we're also taking risk on a personal level in our own life and our own walk with Jesus. Let me leave you with these two questions. Jesus followers, what has following Jesus cost you? And I want you to really think about it. What does it cost you? If you think about all that he just shared and the things that he just said and the cost of being a disciple, what does following Jesus cost you? I wonder, what risk have you taken in your faith? Just take some time to process that. I don't know how long you've been a Jesus follower. I don't know what the circumstances were to you finding Jesus and living for Jesus. Has there been a cost? Have you taken risk? Let me just ask you this one final thing. If following Jesus has cost you nothing, are you really following him? Because what did he say? Jesus says, if you're not willing to risk everything for my sake, you cannot be my disciple. And I think there's risk involved. There's a high cost involved. I think so often we get so distracted by the risk and what it's going to mean for us earthly that we forget about that eternal reward that awaits us one day. So here's what I would say to you, man. I want to close this thing out. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. If you are a Jesus follower in the room, if you are a Jesus follower watching online, I just want to challenge you right now. Spend some time going to him. And if you couldn't answer those questions and say, it's cost a lot and I've risked much, then maybe you need to go and repent and say, God, I am sorry that I have not been willing to risk for you when you risked it all for me, when you sent your son for me. And say, I'm sorry, I repent of that, but today I'm ready. And say, God, right now, will you show me, will you help me, will you teach me, will you guide me on what you want me to risk, and then give me the courage and the boldness to say I'm going after it, that I will risk it. Jesus followers, right now, take some time going to him and asking him for that boldness to live for him in your home and in your workplace and in your neighborhood. That when he says risk it to pray for someone, risk it to help someone, risk it to advance the gospel, you will say yes every time. Because no matter what you have to risk, the reward will always be greater. Spend some time doing that. Now, if you're here today, if you're watching, and for you, you've not experienced that new life in Jesus. You've not come to a place where you have begun a relationship with Jesus. I want to ask you today, what has kept you from living for Jesus and following Jesus? I mean, I remember when I gave my life to Jesus. I remember the altar call. I remember my youth pastor giving a powerful message and calling me to raise my hand and calling me to stand and calling me to come up front and asking to come forward so he could pray with me to help me understand salvation. And I was afraid because I began to process the risk. What will my friends think? What will my family think? What if this is all wrong? I think sometimes we're moved and the Spirit's moving and God is compelling us to begin a relationship with him. But as we begin to think about what that means for us, we begin to think about the risk of the relationships we might lose. We begin to think about the risk of our social standing with people. If we say, I'm a Jesus follower, we begin to process the risk of losing the lifestyle or the habits that we've come so accustomed to. Can I just tell you, if today you're being compelled and Spirit is moving to begin a relationship with God, regardless of the risks that are running through your head, knowing Jesus is worth it. Living for Jesus is worth it. The new life, the new purpose that is found in him is worth it. So if that's you today, everyone heads bowed, eyes closed. If that's you today, I want to challenge you because this was huge for me. Take a risk right now to say, I will live for Jesus. I don't care what you do. If it's a raising your hand and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. If you want to stand up, stand up. If you want to come forward, come forward. If you're at your house and you want to make a move, you want to take a risk, stand and say, I am ready to give my life to Jesus right now, because it starts with him. New life starts with him. Whatever you want to do, I want to pray for you. If you're making that step, if you're going to be bold, man, just pray this prayer that says, Jesus, I recognize that I need you. That your Father, our Heavenly Father, God, he sent you here to pay for our sins, to take our place on the cross. Then he died in my place, and he didn't just die. He didn't just stay dead. No, he resurrected 3 days later so that I could be forgiven and so that I could spend eternity in heaven with you one day. And while I'm here on earth, I can live for you. God, right now, I repent of my sin. I recognize your grace, and I ask you into my life. God, I understand that the risk is great, but the reward of knowing you is greater. God, right now, I lift up this room to you. I lift up those who are watching online, those that maybe have been hesitant to risk, hesitant to move. God, today, you're breaking down those walls. You're breaking down those barriers. You're breaking down the enemy holding someone back from greatness that God has for them to help them advance the kingdom. God, now rejoice with those who have given their life to you for the very first time today. God, I pray that every day we would count the cost and keep living for you no matter what. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.